Hello and welcome to the Watch Your Mouth podcast, a podcast about phrase etymology and why we say the things we say. I'm Milo.
And I'm Dave.
He's my dad.
And she is my daughter.
That's how that works.
It is. So, Milo, here at Watch Your Mouth Industries, you know that we work hard to make a quality podcast that we can serve up to you, our customers, on a bi-weekly basis. But our dear listeners may not know that. And you know this, Milo, this is hard work. It's not super hard, backbreaking work, but it is. We do put hours of time into this to make sure we get a quality product. And, you know, not looking for sympathy here at all, but we, you know, my goal, and I know your goal too, is we want to provide good quality entertainment that is mixed with knowledge, and so that it'll spice up your drive, your walk, your bath time, whenever, wherever you decide to listen.
I feel like
listen.
I'm in a sales meeting. Whenever my dad starts reading from a script rather than just saying the stuff, I'm like, I feel like there's a glitch in the matrix, like something is off.
I know. I really like the idea of like, this is Watch Your Mouth Industries, and we're like pumping out this product and we have these workers that are working tirelessly. That's kind of, I don't know. I just thought it was funny.
We don't have any workers. But there's us. No.
Well, you and me, we're workers. We're working hard.
We sure are working hard. And my cat who cuddles with me while I edit the podcast.
And I don't know if we revealed this in the last episode, but we are now both sitting in closets.
Yes. Yeah, we are recording within closets now for better audio quality.
Yeah, because that's what real podcasters do, and we're going up to the next level. Yeah. Milo, are you familiar with the Webbies?
I am, yes. I have voted in them before, I believe.
Oh, yeah. Well, they keep popping up on my Facebook feed, and I thought, you know, I really, honestly, seriously, I think we do put out a good product here. We certainly do try to put some good stuff out there, some interesting stuff. And I thought, I would like to put our podcast in for possibly getting some recognition, but it's really expensive.
Yeah.
It costs like $450 to enroll.
Yeah, that makes sense. Because it's typically for, you know, podcasts that have like ad revenue and an audience in the more than double digits.
Well, remind me again, what is our ad revenue for this podcast? What is it again?
You know, I think we've gained a lot. We've earned a lot from this podcast. But monetarily speaking, not very much. But we've gained a lot in knowledge. We've gained a lot in cool people that we've gotten to talk to and get to know. True. And who've interacted with our podcast. And we appreciate all that. And, you know, friendship is worth more than money.
Oh, boy. Now who's doing the sales pitch?
That's an anti-sales pitch.
That's an anti-sales pitch. Yeah, definitely. But even as I was considering enrolling us in the Webbies, and I didn't really, I'm not going to spend the $450, and I'm not asking you listeners to send us any money. I mean, if you wanted to, we'd take it. But I would not use it to be entered into the Webbies, probably, unless you specifically earmarked it for that. Which is another phrase. We should check out earmarked. That would be a good one. But
that's earmarked is just like dog earring, page.
Oh, see, already solved. More content. That's not even the point of this one. We unraveled another mystery. Right off the top of her head. Amazing. But I didn't know what category we would fit into. Because I kind of perused the categories and I'm like, we're not strictly educational. We're kind of humor. I mean, I don't know. How would you categorize us?
We are edutainment.
They didn't have an edutainment part on there.
Well, that is lame. We're trailblazers, despite the fact that there's lots of other edutainment podcasts. But, you know.
There are. And And there's actually another podcast that is doing our exact same format, which I think I may have mentioned before.
Yeah, I'm sure there's more than one. Let's be fair.
Well, no, no.
But that's okay. None of them have our charm.
Correct. Or incredible sense of humor. But one of the things that kind of my silly intro, which reading from a script always throws you off every time, because listeners, we are doing a Zoom call right now, and Milo gets kind of this glazed look on her face when I start to read from a script, because this is something that I thought was funny as I was writing weeks ago, and then I start to do the script thing, and she just kind of zones out, and she calls me on it every time. Every time she's like, oh, my dad's doing a bit. I'm like, oh, that's not scripted.
So, listener, we've probably mentioned this before, but if you're new, my father used to be a youth pastor. And so skits and bits were the bulk of my childhood and very much formed who I am today, I believe. Is, you know, there's a certain amount of numbness I have now.
You might call it apathy, PTSD. I don't know. There's different terms one could use, depending on how one cynical one wants to get. But I will say this. You and I, Milo, are word people. And there are tons and tons of opportunity to make puns through our podcasts. And I believe we make a Herculean effort to avoid massive punning. Would you agree with that?
I don't think I necessarily make a Herculean effort. Maybe like Hercules' little cousin, who's like kind of strong, but gives in to... Little Timmy.
What's his name?
Little Timmy, of course.
Timmy. Hercules' nephew, Timmy. You're putting that amount of effort to not make bad puns.
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's like some hope to like live up to your betters, but also, you know, impulse control, not really a thing I'm familiar with. Little Timmy and I have that in common.
Yeah. Famously, that's what Little Timmy is known for. Do not bother fact-checking that for us. Just trust us that we know what we're talking about when it comes to the mythology and family of mythology. Just you probably haven't heard of Little Timmy because you haven't done enough work, listener.
Yeah.
And Milo has, so she knows.
Famous Greek name, Timothy. Go on.
It is. But anyway, to this week... Finally getting the content after a good 5-6 minutes of completely screwing around, getting to the actual content of the phrases. And I did say phrases that I want to cover. And I bring all that up because this would be a very, very another easy episode where we could just really flood it with puns. And I wanted people to know that I'm not going to do that. And I hope people appreciate that effort.
Yeah.
Do you appreciate that effort, Milo?
I am over here appreciating, for sure.
I can see that. I can see that.
But I make no promises.
No. Well, no, it's my episode. So you're going to be, and as we, listeners, those of you who listen a lot, you know that, like, Milo doesn't have my notes before we record and when she presents an episode, vice versa. So a lot of what she's responding to is just real time. This is the first time she's heard it. So that's why she can make no promises to her initial response potentially being very bad puns. All right. So we have two that we're going to do today, and they both have to do with hands. Can you hold up your hand for me, Milo?
No, I lost them in the war. Mouth.
You lost them in the war. Which war would that be?
The thumb war.
Mm-hmm. Well, the thumb war. You lost a hand in the thumb war. That's not how I trained you to do that. I'm taking it a step too far. So you're familiar with the phrase getting caught red-handed.
I am.
And then you probably, I'm sure, have also heard of someone being referred to having a right-hand man.
Yes, I am.
Those are the two phrases we are going to tackle today. We're going to learn together, you and I, learning, and then extending that learning experience to the dozen of listeners out there.
Wow.
I would like to say dozens, but I don't know that we're there yet. I think we're a good dozen.
Some episodes
though.
We are.
Yeah.
We've had dozens.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, so we're going to start with getting caught red-handed. And this phrase is a little bit different because a lot of the phrases we look up, there's not a clear history, there's not a clear answer to where these originate. And getting caught red-handed and based on the little bit of research I did on this and the sources, because it's funny because a lot of the sources, I look up different phrases and people that are talking about this is exactly what this means. And then you read another, you go to another site and it's like, no, this is exactly what it means. There's a lot of confidence, but you can kind of tell there's not any real consensus, mm-hmm. right? You've had that a bunch of times.
Absolutely.
This one that we know where it came from. We're really positive that we know what's happening here. But I will say this. Let me first define it for you. And being caught red-handed means you are caught in the act of doing something wrong. Mm-hmm. And it's good that I explain what this means, because this is not a phrase that is widely used in other countries.
Okay.
So I would, if you are from a different country and you would like to chime in on that, I'd love to hear. Milo and I, email us or put it on our Facebook page. And so I'm always curious about well-known phrases here in America or even in English-speaking countries that have different variations mm-hmm. in different countries. And while this is largely an English phrase, this is a phrase that is similar types of phrases are used in other countries.
Yeah, like equivalent phrases.
Yeah, an equivalency. And again, regular listeners know that my wife, Carol, is a French professor. So mm-hmm. I went to her, oui, and mm-hmm. I asked her, I said, well, do the French say that someone's getting caught red-handed? And she said, no. Yeah, that was French, ladies and gentlemen. By my daughter Milo saying red hand. But they don't really say that. They say basically, they have a similar phrase, which I apologize, pris la main dans le sac, which means getting caught with your hand in the bag. Mm-hmm. And they're not referencing the color red. And so why do we reference the color red? Well, we're about to find out.
I have a guess.
You do, huh? Well, don't guess. Because we're gonna you hold that guess inside your head. Hold it right inside that head.
Hold it in my little heart.
Or in your heart. You hold it wherever you want. I'm not going to try to dictate that to you. But I do want to talk a couple of myths or ideas of where this phrase potentially came from. First, we're going to visit the show Atlanta. And I don't believe that's one you've watched, correct?
No, but I have some familiarity with it.
But on his show Atlanta, which is a good show, I've watched the first season of it. They had a dialogue about the phrase getting caught red-handed, and they were mm-hmm. actually wondering if this was a term that originated with Native Americans, like a racist term, talking about if a Native American got caught stealing. Mm. Let me assure you that this is not where that phrase originated.
I see.
If it was where that phrase originated, my advice would be we should stop saying that. Mm-hmm. But it's not. It's not where that comes from.
It sounds like, so one, as a little bonus for people, I'm using this in quotation marks here, when you say someone gypped you, that's one you don't want to do. Because that's like a similar thing, right? Of like, you're kind of like stealing, yeah. acting shady. But that's a shortening of the word gypsy, which is a slur for the Romani peoples. Don't say that, guys. Scrub that one from your vocabulary. That's a slur.
And that's, we are going to do, in fact, we talked a little bit about before we started recording today, there is an episode coming up in the future. We are going to talk more, we have a little bit already, but we're going to do an episode where we're going to really tackle more problematic phrases that we should probably stop saying once we really understand where they're from. If you do have interest in learning more about racism and in regards to Native Americans, we did an episode a few months back on the phrase bury the hatchet, which it's probably a good 10-12 episodes ago, but I think we got into some really interesting stuff. So I would encourage you to listen to that if you want to kind of learn more about that. So, but thankfully, getting caught red-handed does not have to do with that. And now I want to get into myth number two, which is an Irish origin.
Ooh.
And we're getting closer to the truth with this one, but I had to include this one because I just thought the story was something else. We are going to travel now with, if you will, with me in your mind. We're going to travel to the Northern Irish province of Ulster, and which Ulster has a red hand on their flag. And they really do. If you look that up, they have a big red hand. And there it's kind of tied to potentially where some people were saying they thought this phrase, getting caught red-handed, might come from. And certainly it could be where the flag comes from. But this is the story associated with where the flag comes from, at least. Mm-hmm. So 500 years before the birth of Christ, so about 500 BC, there was this the Galician king of Spain, Meletius. And it's always fun when you're kind of doing some research and study and one thing leads to another. As I was looking a little bit about Meletius, who had never heard of before, I noticed that his father's name was Bile.
Unfortunate.
And I don't know why. I just thought that was funny. I really don't have anything else to say about that. Just mentioning it. So Meletius, son of Bile, sent his three sons, Ir, Heber, and Heramon, to invade and conquer Ireland, as one did back then. And so you have these three sons, there are three go-getters, and he's like, okay, well, they all want to conquer it, and they all want to invade, and they want to do their thing, but which son is going to get it? Well, he decides to make it a contest. He says, Meletius says to his sons, the first one of you to touch the soil once we invade and conquer, then that will become your land. So these sons, they're racing out there, and they're coming towards the shore, and it is neck and neck and neck. They are all very close. And so one of the sons decides that he is falling behind, and he's not going to win. And I don't know if this was a spur-of-the-moment decision or something he had premeditated in case he did fail behind. He took a sword, he cut off his hand, and he threw it on the shore, thereby touching the soil first.
Oh, no.
I like that voice. So then the soil, of course, they were going to Ulster, and the red hand has persisted ever since.
I see.
And I actually got that from culturenorthernireland.org is where I found that story. Did you like that story?
It is a good story. I mean, it's obviously like a little disturbing, but it very much like reads like a fable, right?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There's three brothers. There's land to inherit. There's violence.
They walked into a bar. No, I'm sorry. Oh, wait, that's a joke. That's something else. All right. So now to get to where the phrase actually originated, and we're going to go on a little bit of a journey on the path of where it kind of started and how it kind of morphed into getting caught red-handed. Again, we're quite sure that the term started in Scotland, mm-hmm. very close to Ireland. A land I would love to visit. And the first documented mention of Red Hand is in the Scottish Acts of Parliament of James I, which was written in 1432. This is, I'm going to try to read it. It's very kind of, it's English. It's like Old English, so.
Can you give me an accent there, please?
Eltree, I have to think of the Scottish accent. Because I do a lot of accents, and I don't know that I do them all very well at all, but I do try, and so it takes me a minute to work into it. So here we go. That the offender be taken red hand may be pursued and put to the knowledge of an assize before the baron of landeslord of the land or ground, quither the offender be his tenant, unto whom the ring is done or not, and others not taken red hand to be always pursued before the... And then it stops. You like that?
I think I got like three words.
Yeah, so it's something about someone being caught with a red hand, they can pursue them. But then there's words I don't understand. I don't know what an assize is. I mean, baron, I know, or a landlord. Uh-huh. Anyway, and I don't know what quitter, Q-U-H-I-D-D-E-R. So, well, anyway, red hand, actually, the term red hand appears many times in Scottish legal proceedings in the 15th century and afterwards. Another example in 1674 is from Sir George Mackenzie's, it's called A Discourse Upon the Laws and Customs of Scotland in Matters Criminal. I'm sure you've read that.
Good bedtime reading. Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Didn't they do a Disney movie on that?
Yeah, and there's the picture book. I read that to my kids back in the day.
It was a golden book, yes. So it says, our friend George Mackenzie says, if he be not taken red hand, the sheriff cannot proceed against him.
Mm.
So, you know, there's got to be some...
Innocent until seen guilty.
Yeah, yeah. So we're pretty much there. The term Red Hand firmly noticed, used, we got that. So now we kind of go to Red Handed, and it looks like the first time that we really see the term Red Handed being used is in the book Ivanhoe, which I think you've heard of the book Ivanhoe.
The name strikes a bell.
Yeah. And that was written by Sir Walter Scott in 1819. Now, I am familiar with this. I haven't read it, but I'm familiar with it.
Mm-hmm.
And I did, but I wanted to know more, so I did a little bit of looking up.
Of course.
It was actually a romance. Did not know that. And it was originally three novels. So it was a rom-com back in the early 1800s. And I was surprised to learn that Robin Hood was a character in this book.
Oh, was this the first appearance of Robin Hood, or was this just a use of a folk character?
Great, great question. Because I actually looked that up myself, because I'm like, oh, is this the origin of Robin Hood?
Mm-hmm.
No, Robin Hood goes all the way back to like the 1200s.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense. A little older than
Robin
that.
Robin Hood is really old, especially if he's still alive. He's really, really old. And probably, as they think with King Arthur, Robin Hood was not one person. He was just a conglomeration, a mashing together of a number of people. But again, this figure has lasted for just hundreds and hundreds of years, which I think is always kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
So the line in Ivanhoe says, "I did but tie one fellow who is taken red-handed and in the fact to the horns of a wild stag," which is getting us a little bit closer. We're edging towards why we're saying red-handed. What does that have to do with anything? Why are they referring to having a red hand? Some of you probably have some guesses. And you're probably right, but just bear with me a second. There is a website I will go to sometimes for my research called Mental Floss. Mm-hmm. And in this on this page, they talked about how Scott frequently drew inspiration from Scottish history and folklore. So some people will credit Sir Walter Scott with the origin of this phrase. He didn't originate it. He popularized it potentially, but and maybe tweaked it a little. But it didn't start with him.
Yeah, he's a dirty thief.
He was caught red-handed. So being caught red-handed, as far as we can tell, is written by, is in a book called Guy Livingston, written by George Alfred Lawrence, George again, and published in 1857.
Mm-hmm.
So now we're going to get to, in your theory, as you've tucked it away inside your heart, as to what you think, why we're saying this phrase, where does it come from? So now's the time, Milo. Please share with us, where do you think this phrase comes from?
My time has come. Probably blood, right? Like, you stabbed somebody, your hands are all bloody. Oh no, you've been caught red-handed.
That is exactly right.
Yay!
Whether it's murdering or... What I was reading was, it was in reference to either poaching, which is a big problem because it's the king's land, and all of a sudden there's a dead deer and you're like, I didn't kill him. Well, it's weird because you have blood all over your hands and your knife, is that your knife inside the deer?
Uh-huh.
Okay. You've been caught. That's right. It's not my knife. What are your initials? I'd rather not say because they're on the knife. Were you monogramming the deer, sir? Were you carving your initials into the deer? Yeah. That's why you don't do that anymore. It used to be a big thing. Anyway.
I mean, people do brand like cows and stuff, so that's not wildly off.
You think they do? You're not sure?
No, I said they do, right? I don't know what I said now.
It's fine. I'm just teasing. But I'll be fair. I don't know many Scottish people. Mm-hmm. I used to work with a woman who was Scottish, and I used to love her name was Karen. And yeah, very good. And she,
thank you,
just very no-nonsense person, just very, I thought she was great, but I love this. This is a very, just kind of a graphic, very literal term, comes from the Scots, being caught red-handed. You had blood on your hands. You're guilty. Boom. What more do you want?
This might be our first Scottish phrase, actually. And actually, that's interesting, because if we think about the Scottish play, do you know what that's referencing?
Hamlet?
Nope.
Ivanhoe?
No.
A Few Good Men?
Macbeth.
Oh, right.
You were right on the Shakespeare path. But no, well, in Macbeth, there is a large speech, the most famous speech from Macbeth, possibly, is the outdamned spot about having blood on your hands. And that is the Scottish play. So that's interesting.
Could you give us that speech right now?
Out dem spot, out I say, one, two, why then? 'Tis time to do it, hell is murky. Fie, my lord, fie. A soldier in a field? What need we...
And it just, now it just goes into giggles. And that's actually what Shakespeare wanted on that speech.
Yeah, no, that's, hoping... the climax of the story. Good to have giggles. Out dem spot, I say, one, two, why then? 'Tis time to do it, hell is murky. Fie, lord, fie. A soldier and be afeard? What need we fear? Who knows it, when none can call our power to account? Yet who would have thought the old man would have so much blood in him?
Oh, that's He's got a so lot of blood. Dark.
I know. It's a dark play. Have you seen it?
No. I thought it was a comedy.
No, Shakespeare has his share of comedies, but Macbeth is not one of them. But yeah, that's kind of an early example of, oh, geez, red hands.
Well, I will tell you, to be honest with you, and it's good to be honest to everyone, when you said what play, I was quite confident you were talking about Shakespeare. And then when I said Hamlet, and then you were like, no, then I kind of panicked and made it silly. As if
I'm
like,
not
I
sure,
just...
Yeah, I wasn't sure if you were joking about Hamlet and starting out silly, but...
No.
No, you pivoted to silly, to save face.
I pivoted to silly to save face. So I'm calling myself
out. I love your memoir.
Yeah, that's right. Saving face and failing. That's me. All right. So that is our first phrase we're doing. Now we're going to pivot over to the second phrase, which is, as I've said, you're right, having a right-hand man.
Yeah, and this reminds me of a few weeks ago when we talked about handedness with driving and all that.
Yeah, exactly. And so some of this stuff is going to be a little bit, it sound familiar? Again, this is another easy one. We know where this comes from.
I know where this one comes from, actually.
Oh, do you?
This is one that I knew pre-podcast.
There's not many of those. I can tell you that right now. a lot of these, I could, for sure, me, I'm like, well, that's why I look it up. I don't know. So first, let's go to the definition. Milo, would you let our listeners know what it means to be someone's right-hand man or woman?
Your right-hand man is like your person, like the one that you can trust for everything. There's kind of, I think, often like a power imbalance kind of structured into it. So like a manager's assistant manager is like their right-hand man. It's kind of like their delegation person.
That is right. Just kind of a chief assistant, someone that's indispensable.
Yeah. But it can also be more casual, too. Like, I've heard people, like, you know, refer to their maid of honor as their right-hand woman, that kind of thing.
Yeah. But I kind of got thinking. I'm like, again, it's kind of what drives this whole podcast. Like, why do we say that? We say it all. It's not infrequent. You hear this. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you know, but why? It's just kind of... I never thought about it before, but do you remember from your studies when you were researching a couple weeks ago about driving and which side of the road we drive on? Do you remember about what percentages they say people are right-handed?
Oh, geez. I mean, it's the vast, vast majority of the population. I want to say that it was like 80%.
Yeah, I saw a couple different sites and they were putting it either anywhere from 70% to 95%.
Okay.
But sometimes it's difficult because you don't always know in a family, and it starts to show very early. And a lot of times in school and even in homes, kids are encouraged to do things with their right hand, not their left. You know, they just start, hey, here's a fork, little Timmy. Actually, Hercules' nephew. Here's a fork, little Timmy. And they put it in the right hand. And so I think... That's why I think it might be a little lower than we think it is actually, but I don't know. Whatever.
Yeah. Also, there's a fair number of ambidextrous people who maybe kind of are inclined to left hand, but learn to use their right hand because like scissors are designed for right-handed people. And there's so many tools that are specifically for right-handed people. Like we were talking about that in that episode, there was a lot of fatality in war just because all the equipment is set up for right-handed folks, so left-handed people are at a disadvantage. So I know a lot of technically left-handed people who are pretty much ambidextrous.
Do you know what they consider and again, this is what I saw on the interwebs. Do you know what it means for someone to be truly ambidextrous, what they need to be able to do?
Is it right with two hands at the same time, one in French and one in German, which I think one of our founding fathers could do, if I'm remembering correctly?
One of our presidents could do that.
Okay.
Don't remember which one. But it is, you're kind of right. You need to be able to write equally well with either hand. That is someone who is truly ambidextrous.
But not necessarily at the same time.
No, especially not in two different languages. It's just
which
insane.
Is impressive.
And I believe, just as a little side note here, and you're right-handed. Do you know many left-handed people?
My mother is left-handed, but none of her children are, because it's a very recessive trait. My friend JT is left-handed. My friend Maya, who's been on the podcast, is left-handed. I might be getting that wrong. If Maya's listening, I'm sorry. Oh. As soon as I said it, I was like, you know, I don't know 100%, but I believe she is. I think I know at least a dozen left-handed people.
I thought, you know, as I was writing this, I'm like, oh yeah, that's right. Your mom's left-handed. I'm like, wait, is she? I'm like,
she is.
I think she's left-handed. All right. Yeah.
As is her mother.
I thought I remembered that. Right. Yeah. So this is actually a phrase that some of you will know this really got popularized and used a bit in the Bible. There are over 58 different verses referring to the right hand of God.
And
in Romans 8:34. Yeah, exactly. In Romans 8:34 says that Jesus is seated at the right hand of God. So, okay, great. So we kind of get an idea of how this really came about, but I kind of wanted to go a little bit deeper, and I started to think about, well, why right hand versus left hand? Like, what's the significance there? So I wanted to get into a little bit of the etymology of the word right. Mm-hmm. And I thought it was pretty cool. And for you etymology nerds out there, you know who you are. Raise your hand. So this is from very early on in Old English, and the earlier version of Old English of right is R-I-H-T. How would you say that? Rit? How would you say R-I-H-T?
Rit.
Rit. And that
Crackers.
Meant... It did, and they put cheese on it, and then they realized it was better to put cheese on a cracker than on your hand. That's not true. But the Old English rit meant good, proper, fitting, or straight, which is kind of cool. It is a specialized development of the adjective that apparently began in late Old English on the notion of the right hand as normally the stronger of the two. And still carrying on to this day, there is a sense of if it was stronger, it was more correct. So the right hand was the more correct hand because it was stronger. By 1200, this was extended to that whole side of the body, then to limbs, clothing, etc., and then transferred to other objects. Mm-hmm. The usual Old English word for the opposite of left was the opposite of left was suibra, which was literally stronger. The history of words for right and left show that they were used primarily with reference to the hands. And so in Dutch, right was recht, R. E-C-H-T, also German, same spelling, and it literally meant right, which was not left. And that's from the old High German, R-E-H-T, which meant only just straight or just. And then Latin and right was rectus, which was straight or right. And so there's this really strong association of your right hand being stronger and better, and there's actually, I'm interested in that because the whole idea is if you're stronger, you must be right. And obviously that is that comes evolutionary from a long line of humanity. I'm stronger than you, therefore I'm better than you. And if I'm alive and you're dead, I must be right. Mm-hmm. And so there's also kind of another, go back to the Bible here. There's kind of an odd story where two of Jesus' disciples ask if they could be seated at his right and his left when Jesus' kingdom came. And apparently in another gospel, it says that their mom also asked Jesus, hey, when you come onto your throne, would you mind putting my boys on your right and left? Do you have any idea, do you remember the names of those disciples?
No, I do not remember this story in the slightest.
It's James and John. They used to call them the Sons of Thunder when they found out because
their
word
name.
Got
wait,
out.
Hold on. They were called Sons of Thunder.
Sons of Thunder.
What were they members of KISS? What?
they were. It was actually a very early version of KISS.
I see.
The Sons of Thunder. Could you say it in a like you're introducing them at a rock concert, please? Why do you sound like you have a sore throat?
Because everybody's shouting at a rock concert.
Sorry. Go ahead, try that again, please.
And now, prepare yourself for Sons of
Thunder! Now they're wrestling. I don't know why. Anyway. So, like I said, this whole idea of the right-handedness and how that became, and this even until recent history of, you know, you don't have to, you can look it up yourself, but stories of kids being punished for doing things left-handed, you know, and like very strongly, you know, forced to do things with their right hand, and clearly it wasn't comfortable for them. And why? Who cares? You know, it's not like, what difference does it make? I just think
it's the sinister hand, the left hand. It was seen as like legit evil sometimes.
Why do you think that is? And some of your readings and stuff. Why do you think the left hand was considered to be so evil?
Because it's other. Like it cuts back to like the very basic framework of the human race, which is seeing other and being like, that's inherently wrong.
Well, and I think, you know, if you look at it, I mean, I do understand where that came from, because it was like, oh, there's a people group. They're not us. There's a good chance they're going to try to kill us. And so, I mean, I kind of get where that originated, but I think it's still kind of embedded in our brains somehow. Like, oh, they're different. They're less than. They're worse. We're better. We're smarter. We're stronger.
Right. I mean, that's where we get such issues of tribalism and patriotism and America first kind of stuff. Oh. Is like, you know, looking out for number one, might makes right, all that kind of toxic elitism that doesn't do great for actually creating a society.
Well, it all starts with dehumanizing. When you start to dehumanize someone and talk about those people, and I will even, and we're kind of floating off the topic here, but just give us another, give me another minute, listener, if you would. I'm a moderate. I'm not a conservative. I'm not a liberal. I'm kind of in the middle. But I was no Trump fan, but I did not like it when people made fun of Trump for his physical characteristics. Mm-hmm. You know, you can disagree with all kinds of stuff, but don't make fun of his because his hands are small or, you know, I just don't, you know, be unhappy with some of the things he says.
Or his
and the
weight.
Way he treats. Yeah. Don't do that. Yeah.
Right. Anyway. Like I heard a lot of people making fun of him for being overweight. And it's like, you know, you have tons of friends who are overweight and who are hearing you say this.
Yeah.
And you're turning away from the actual evil that someone is committing and instead commenting on something that lots of people deal with and that's no indication of their character.
Yeah. And it all of a sudden it's funny, ha, 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 but I never like that stuff because it kind of cheapens the legitimate arguments you want to make against some of the real problems. It's a distraction. Anyway, I get it. So the last thing that I want to look at is I also, in the whole idea of the handedness, I wanted to get an idea of why we shake hands. Why do we shake hands with our right hand instead of our left hand? Mm-hmm. Are you familiar with this at all and why that might be the case?
I mean, I think probably something has something to do with the fact that that's the hand that people are just inclined to do things with. But I'm sure there's some deeper symbolic reason as well.
Well, there's two reasons that I came up with. Number one, the first one is a little grosser. Let's say it's the number two reason, if you know it. You'll get that in a minute.
Yes, I have heard this.
The first reason, though, and I didn't know this, was it was a way to show that you were unarmed.
Mm-hmm.
You weren't holding a weapon in your hand. You're holding your right hand out. Most people being right-handed, they're going to hold a weapon in their right hand. You're holding your right hand out. It's clearly empty. The other person holds their right hand out clearly empty. So you're like, hey, I'm here to promote peace. I'm not here to attack.
But you have mistaken one thing, sir. I am not left-handed.
I am not killed. No man can kill me. I am not a man. That's from Lord of the Rings, Return of the King.
Different movie, but yes.
Yes, well, I went there. But then, and then the other one, of course, is, let's just say that Charmin was not always a thing. Cottonelle, toilet paper. And so, I don't know how true this was, but to shake your hand off your left hand was an insult because that was your taking care of business hand, if you know what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. And it just wasn't as clean.
Yeah, not a lot of hand washing happening.
They didn't have Purell back then, and I blame Purell for that. They should have been around much earlier. But
old James Purell should have gotten there sooner.
And that's pretty much it for today. And of course, you didn't want to get sick. Let me throw that in. Back in the day, you got sick, and it was not going to go well for you.
Yeah.
So, Milo. What stood out to you in today's episode? What were you interested in?
Well, I am a story person, beginning and end, all the time. So the story of the three brothers racing to a shoreline.
Can you name one of them?
Did you give the names?
I did give the names.
Well, I was not listening to that part. Nope, didn't
shout
hear
out,
a single
listeners.
Name.
Shout it out for Milo so she can hear you.
Yep, shame me. No. Well, I remember John and James were the disciples. I remember that part.
What was their nickname?
Sons of Thunder.
There it is. Well, anyway, it doesn't matter.
What stuck out to you?
Ear, Haber, and Hermann. I really like that story. I thought that was cool. I liked learning about Ivanhoe and that last fact about shaking hands and just showing that you weren't carrying a weapon. I'm like, oh, I didn't know that. That makes sense. Mm-hmm. There's a logic to that. That's kind of cool. And that's
it. Very cool.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Ah. Well, thanks for sharing all those handy facts with us.
Hey, see, we could not abstain from the puns for the whole time.
I think I did a really good job. I
you
held up
a
for
job.
A long time.
I've really got to hand it to you. That was a pun.
Very good.
Sorry.
Well, if you would like to lend us a hand, you can rate and review us on your listening platform of choice. You can follow our Facebook group to get updates and pictures from episodes, all kinds of fun stuff. And sometimes people comment different fun facts from their countries and all that stuff. It's great. You can go on there and do that, too. We'd love it. Thank you to Tony Gebhardt for our theme song. And you can email us at watchyourmouthpod@gmail.com with any question, comments, corrections, or suggestions. Mm-hmm. Anything else?
No, just like us, review us, please. It does help. Please spread the word. I appreciate it. I've noticed some of you on different groups that I'm actually – I know some of you in like we've talked before, and they'll say, hey, I'm in this group with this other listener, one of our listeners. And someone will say, hey, what podcast do you listen to? What is everyone listening to out there? And they'll list us frequently. And,
thank you.
I appreciate that. Those are the types of things that help. And then all we need, Milo, one really person, an influencer to mention us. And then we've hit it big. And then you can drive that Rolls Royce you've always dreamed of.
Influencer is such an insidious word, I think.
It is.
We can
bad.
Talk about that in a different episode, maybe. Yeah. It really is like an interesting choice of words because it does sound very like mind control-y in a way that I find interesting. But anyway.
Another time.
Yes. But thank you all for tuning in. We will see you in a couple weeks. But in the meantime, I'm Milo.
And I'm Dave.
Stay curious and carry a hatchet.
The mills past the stacks. On a gathering storm comes a tall, handsome man in a dusty black coat with a red right hand.